the floor of Bam about to open up a big old can. Good times, unwind, falling and out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Time permitting, we will we'll address your text messages at the conclusion of today's program. Joining us now on the line, he represents the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama, but always a pleasure to bring on my friend, Congressman Gary Palmer. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on, especially this pivotal time right now for Congress. But let's get into it here, and I'll say this: I think Speaker Johnson is doing a pretty good job. The messaging is so much better than it's ever been for Republicans in these shutdown situations. But it might just be by virtue of having better better arguments and more on your going for you on your side. But kind of walk us through what you're hearing and what you're seeing out there.
We're going to have a conference call with Russ Vogt, the director of the Office Management and Budget, at noon. And we'll get a little clearer picture on things then. But in terms of what brought this about, the House passed a continuing resolution that funds the government at the same level we've been doing. And Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries have decided that the Senate Democrats will not support it. And as I've told other people, this is really about their political future more than anything else. It has very little to do with what's best for the country.
Yeah, and because, the fear of an AOC primary for Schumer and the loss of a leadership position for Hakeem Jeffries, but they're going to have this. They're going to have to address this fork in the road at some time because they can't cater to the base. The base, I don't think, is ever going to be big enough for these guys to win a national election, if you will. And I mean, at some point, this is going to come to a head, right?
Yeah, but it's like they're running the same Kamala Harris campaign all over again in the government shutdown. They're out there arguing for providing free health care to illegal immigrants, including the illegal immigrants who've committed crimes, the criminal part, and pay for it on the backs of the American taxpayers. They want to do away with something that we had in the One Big Beautiful Bill that we saw as a huge problem, and that is the rural health care, the access to rural health care, particularly for women having babies. They want to take that money away and use that to provide free health care for these illegals. I don't think that's a winning message. And I think they're out there pushing people to interfere with ICE, trying to pick up the criminal aliens. And I just don't think that's going to work for them, Jeff.
Well, but they're not. They're not messaging on that. They're messaging on Donald Trump is a bad guy. And, and some of the things they're talking about were already kind of litigated in a debate about the big, beautiful bill. While Republicans, I think, are being very effective here by talking about wanting to give health care to illegal aliens, this is not what they're talking about. They're using a playbook, I think, Congressman, from yesteryear, where they used to at one time, by virtue of having a monopoly on the media and able to portray a shutdown as, Republicans doing their misdeeds, we've learned that doesn't work. And what it really interesting to me is Republicans have stuck together on this. Sometimes you have defections, but not this time.
No, and you've got President Trump in the White House. It will make the decisions as to what happens with the executive branch agencies. And Social Security is going to continue to go out. Medicare and Medicaid is going to be there. Veterans health care is going to be out there. Veterans assistance, our border security, the things that people really rely on will continue to be there. What the Democrats are doing is they're hurting some of the poor people, like the Women and Infants, the WIC program that provides support for low-income women with children. Those are some of the things that the Democrats, I don't know, I'm like you, I really don't know what they want other than they just hate Donald Trump. And Trump's the guy that's going to make the decisions, and I think he's going to do the best he can to limit any negative impact that the shutdown has.
Well, it's just, is it this, that they just need to blow off a little steam and they need to show that they got some fight, that they're taking on the big bad orange man, and that's this what this is all about? That to me still seems like a loser.
I think you got it. You made the main point right at the beginning of this, and that is that it's Chuck Schumer trying to fend off a primary from AOC and Hakeem Jeffries trying to maintain his leadership position as minority leader. Both those guys are getting tremendous pressure from the radical left element of their party, which is about to become the Mandami party element. That's really, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. That's really what this is about. And Donald Trump is their main focus because they think it helps them.
Well, it's also this, Congressman. I mean, you have, and this is a party that has screeched democracy for the last 5 years, but Republicans have both chambers on Capitol Hill. They have the White House, and they're trying to pass a continuing resolution on a budget that Biden signed into law. And
so the
wisdom here doesn't work in their favor at all because, I mean, this is what it is. I think that's why this shutdown is different than many of the shutdowns in the past.
Yeah, I agree. And Schumer, as you know, his history has always been against any kind of shutdown. And all of a sudden he's changed his mind. And again, you made another good point. This is a Biden budget that they supported, that they now don't support. And they want to add $1.5 trillion in additional spending when we're looking at a $37 trillion debt already. So I just think this is an act of desperation on their part that I think is going to blow up on them.
Yeah, and so do you think, I mean, do they come around? Do you have a sense of, because I thought this initially when it looked like this was just inevitable. Well, they got to show some fight. They got to show that they're pushing back against the administration. And then ultimately, like it always does, some deal is brokered and then we move on with our lives.
Well, we'll have to get to some agreement. And I think we've already seen three Democrats voted with the Republicans yesterday. I'll have to go back and check, but I think that's what I saw. And I think you're going to see more and more Democrats that are feeling the pain at home that are not going to stand with Schumer, and they're not going to stand with Jeffries. I don't think this is going to last as long as the one did under Obama. Because I think a lot of these folks realize they really don't have a message here. And it's, again, going back to what you said earlier, it's hard to really figure out what they want other than they just hate Donald Trump.
Well, there's got to be some solace in this, right, that the trend is moving. I mean, it's a Republican trend because, as you pointed out, they're losing votes in the Senate. And there's no reason for, at this point, with that trend underway, for Schumer or Jeffries to expect things to go their way. This just looks like that they're going to have to be the ones to fold.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, Jeff. We're facing some major issues related to our economic security and our national security, particularly dealing with China. I've been named chairman of the Subcommittee on Environment and the Energy and Commerce Committee because of the focus that I've had on securing our supply chain of critical minerals and rare earth elements, processed and refined minerals and elements. And these are the issues that really we ought to be focused on because it, it's an enormous threat to our national security and our economic security. You've got the issues with crime in the streets that President Trump's trying to address. And I know people have different opinions about how to go about it, but you look at what he's done in Washington, D.C. There hadn't been a murder in Washington, D.C. in over a month, which is unbelievable considering where we were just a couple of months ago. We've got all these issues that we need to be addressing, and they're shutting down the government, which again tells me that their priorities are totally different than the priorities of the American people and totally in opposition to where we ought to be concerning the fact that we're trying to end the war in Ukraine, trying to end the war in the Middle East with Hamas and deal with all that. And this is what they want to do.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a winner, other than it shores up the base in a blue state that is totally kind of out of sorts or out of, it's not what mainstream America really falls in line with here. Joined by Congressman Gary Palmer here on the program. Congressman, you mentioned and I think the 2024 election, a lot of Trump's victory was time to be tough on crime. The crime in the streets under Biden, it was just overwhelming. And what do you make of his moves here? We haven't talked about this a whole lot, you and I, but the idea of troops and positioning more federal assets in some of these problem areas.
I think there's a limited scope for this, but I think that in some cases it's necessary. I mean, you remember just about 4 or 5 years ago, El Salvador had the highest murder rate of any country in the world. But if you compared it to the murder rates in St. Louis and Baltimore and Chicago, well, some of our other cities, it was safer to be in El Salvador than it was in some of our cities. And I just think that local law enforcement can't handle it. Maybe local authorities ought to be willing to call in help to deal with the problem, like we were having, like I said, in Washington, D.C. But it's not, it shouldn't be looked at as a permanent solution. We've gone through several years now of Democrat-led states and cities that were anti-police. You've seen a major reduction in law enforcement personnel because people just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. They weren't supported by the local government, or they decided they didn't want that career anymore. So we put ourselves in a really bad place in a lot of these Democrat-led cities with their anti-police rhetoric. So at some point, I guess it makes sense to bring in outside help.
Well, let's talk about this. How do you feel about that possibility in Alabama with, not just FBI and your typical law enforcement assets, but the possibility of troops on the in the streets here in the state?
I haven't heard anything from the governor's office indicating that there was an interest in doing that, although Birmingham on a per capita basis has one of the highest murder rates in the country. But I haven't heard anything about possibly bringing them into Alabama. I know Tennessee, you know, Governor Lee is looking at bringing them into Memphis, and that may happen, but, it's something that needs to be done on a very limited scale, because I don't think we want to have a federal police force, so to speak, getting involved in local law enforcement. I think we've got to return to respect for police, make it a great career again, and stop this rhetoric, anti-police rhetoric, that has done enormous damage to law enforcement all over the country.
Congressman, we have an election cycle underway. 2026 is around the corner here, and I'm not naming any of the candidates running for any of the offices specifically, but how do you see this shaping up? I mean, typically we have Democrat waves when there's a Republican, and vice versa when there's a Republican or Democrat in the White House. But how do you feel about what we're looking at this cycle?
I think we're going to be in pretty good shape, and here's why. We made certain promises in the 24 cycle that if they gave us the majority in the House and maintained it in the Senate, and gave us the White House, we would deliver on our promises, and that's exactly what we've been doing. And we're not done. I think when people start really feeling the benefits of the One Big Beautiful Bill next year, I think they're going to realize that we're a group now that are determined to do what's best for the country. And I think they'll appreciate that. I also think President Trump is going to be on the campaign trail like never before in the midterm election, which I think will also help us.
Congressman, I know you got to get to a call here, but we appreciate you making time for us, and let's do it again real soon.
I always appreciate you having me on.
Congressman Gary Palmer there from the 6th Congressional District. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back to wrap it all up. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.